What a joy it is to be able to come and to share my heart with you on a lot of different issues and a lot of things, and just pray that you get something out of it. I know sometimes when I do these, I get myself happy, and I'm thinking, wow, what a joy it is to have Christian freedom. Now, July the 4th is Thursday. We celebrate the freedom that we have in this country through the Declaration of Independence and the history of our country and what the founders were able to do through the not only Declaration of Independence, but then later on all the wonderful things that we have as our Bill of Rights and the many other things that we have that kind of guarantees our freedom. And we think about it because really what they did was giving us information about what the government cannot do to us and where we have freedom in this country. That's why we're exceptional. But I was thinking more today because I think we all know the Bill of Rights and some of the things that we have in this country and the freedoms that we celebrate. But I was thinking, what about Christian freedom? Well, the Bible states emphatically that believers in Jesus Christ are free. It says in Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And before Jesus died on the cross, God's people lived under a detailed system of laws that serve as a moral compass to guide our lives. The law, while powerful, it was giving grant of salvation or produced freedom. But nevertheless, what it did was it pointed the way to Jesus Christ through his sacrificial death. Christ fulfilled the law. He said he didn't come to change the law, but to fulfill it. So it's a wonderful thing to understand through his sacrificial death, Christ fulfilled the law, setting us as believers in this day and time from the sin of death. God's laws are now written in our hearts, and through the Spirit of the living God, we are free to follow and serve Christ in ways that please him. So in a nutshell, this is the definition of Christian freedom. It's an important aspect of us as Christ followers, because freedom is our responsibility, not to return to living under the law. Now I'm talking about spiritual law, not the law of the country, because our founders did provide a way for them to make laws, and we need to be law-abiding citizens. But I'm talking about Christian freedom, as the Apostle Paul compared this to slavery. He says, "Stand firm, then. Do not let the law after salvation is merely a legalistic form of religion." No, he said, we cannot earn righteousness through the law. Rather than the law's purpose was to define our sin and show us a need for a Savior. So Christian freedom involves living not under the burdensome obligation of the law, but under God's grace. Romans 6:14 says, "For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace." Wow. That's a wonderful thing, you know, but God didn't do away with the Ten Commandments. There's some things in there that we just have to understand, and we call it natural law, a lot of the different things. But with Christ, we are free from the law of oppressive systems. We are free from the penalty of sin, and we're free from the power of sin. You know, sin can really get a hold of you and keep you captive, but Christian freedom is not a license to sin, but we are free in Christ, but not free to live however we want, indulging the flesh. "For you have been called to live in freedom, brothers and sisters," Paul said, "so don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature." Wow, that's something to think about, isn't it? Christian freedom is one of the many paradoxes of the Christian faith, because true freedom really means a willingness to become a slave to Christ. And this happens through a relationship with him, a personal relationship with the living God. And at the moment that we accept him into our life as a believer, then we are becoming a servant of righteousness. "But thanks be to God that you were once slave," Paul said, "and being obedient to the heart and the standard of his teaching, and now you are free from sin, and you have become slaves of righteousness." I think only Christians know true freedom, because John said, if the Son sets you free, then you're free indeed. But what does Christian freedom look like in a practical sense? Well, I think we are free to do or not to do. What we can do, we can watch TV, we can eat and drink, we can wear whatever we want to the beach, and without smoking or drinking, you can do all that, but there are limits to the Christian freedom. The Apostle Paul gives us some practical advice about Christian freedom. He said, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. I like that. Wow. So nobody should seek his own good, but for the good of others. Now, in writing to the church at Corinth, Paul mentioned to the members who were attending meals at pagan temples that they had done just before receiving Christ. They felt free to continue participating because they thought these festivals were merely a normal part of social culture, and they didn't see their actions as pagan worship. The Apostle Paul gave us a lot of things, and especially things that we in the church should really pay attention to, because he laid out the hope that we have in Christ, and then he laid out how the church should operate. We sometimes forget about that. And Paul said that, okay, guys, everything is permissible for the Christian. But he was also saying, Christians have a great deal of freedom in Christ. However, not everything is beneficial or constructive. Our freedom in Christ must be balanced by a desire to build up others and when deciding how to exercise our Christian freedom. We ought to seek the good of others. Well, many things in the scriptures about how we can have freedom in Christ. And I think that those of us who have truly accepted Christ into our lives, you know, I think about grace sometimes, and Dietrich Bonhoeffer talked about cheap grace. And I think what he meant by that is that once we accept Christ in our life, we are free from sin. And that's true. But we can lose our salvation. Now, I don't mean that in the wrong way, but we can. Because if you accept grace and then go living like hell for the rest of your life, I don't know if that's going to give you an access to heaven or not. Because we need to repent. And we need to constantly repent. And we need to be able to know the difference between what we're doing in the flesh and what we need to do in the spiritual realm. And I think the issue a lot in the New Testament times, there was a lot of situations where they were eating meals and it was offered to idols and all of that. So the Bible gives us a clear-cut guidelines on whether we should behave in sin or what sin is. And we need spiritual discernment in order to do that. Because there is gray areas in life. There's no doubt about that. And we can rely on two guiding principles to regulate our Christian freedom. Let love for others compel us not to cause anybody to stumble. And let our desires to glorify God be our all-encompassing motive. And I have to be careful, too, as a recovered alcoholic, and I say recovered, not recovering, because I've accepted my healing in that area. And I have to be careful when I'm ministering to somebody that I don't cause them to stumble and to be able to get legalistic about different things, because it's so important. Because every one of us is at a different point in our spiritual walk with the Lord. And so we need to show love. We need to show compassion. We need to show forgiveness. I think the Lord's Prayer is really important because it gives us a clue that if we don't forgive, we won't be forgiven. Well, there's a lot of people also that we pray for on our list of people that we lift up in prayer that you can find on the website there. Just click on the slides of the people that we have on the prayer list, and we come into a prayer of agreement with them and for them, and we thank God that we have the opportunity to live in a country that is truly free, although there's sometimes we have some doubts, right? But we do have the rule of the law, so to speak. And people like to twist the rule of the law sometimes in our country, just like people like to twist the Word of God to give them their own little interpretation. Well, Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you, and you will find true freedom in Christ, not only in the country we live in, but also in your heart of hearts, and we give you the glory. So we close this little segment with the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hope and pray you have a wonderful week and a time of celebrating our freedom, both in this country and freedom from sin. In Jesus' name, amen.